joining us at a very weird time in our country. And there's so many things that are confusing in our nation. Definitions of family, definitions of different things that, you know, I thought, what could I challenge you with to start with to keep this pretty simple? Because it gets so confusing in life where we go. I mean, when you think about all of the different things in life that are weird. Right now, we're talking about people who are in public schools and they're trying to figure out how to deal with people who one day think they're male and the next day think they're female. And we're talking to people who don't know what they are. And they're trying to figure out how to figure out what they are. I don't know about you, but this gets old and confusing after a while. It gets to be like the human tax code. You know, I mean, the tax code's very hard to understand, and you got to go learn all about it, and it's like we're trying to figure out things and make it so complicated that we can't even figure out what we're trying to figure out anymore. And it gets old, it gets tiring, and it's very important that as you're here this year that you think about the very basics that we are founded on in the Scriptures, and that somehow we make it simple. It's not our goal to simplify. That would be wrong. It's our goal to keep it simple, because it really is quite simple. There is a God. I'm not Him. There we go. That's pretty simple to start with. And then we can go from there. We can build the building blocks and we can understand. One of the weird things in life is the philosophy that has begun to take over both in the academic circles and the nation. And it's not a new philosophy. So I want to share with you some things from this guy called Machiavelli, or however we pronounce him. It's really interesting to see how much influence this one individual has had throughout history. And if there ever was a satanic being on the earth, this would be the guy. And I'm going to read some things about him. Among the precepts espoused by Machiavelli, leaders should always mask their true intentions, avoid inconsistency, and frequently act against mercy, against faith, against humanity, against frankness, against religion, in order to preserve the state. This guy Machiavelli, his name has become synonymous with tyrants throughout time. And you might think, well, this guy doesn't have much influence in today, but really, probably most politicians have read his work. Most politicians have not only read his work, but they've tried to learn from him on how to be politicians. And if you want to check in your, wherever you want to look things up, you will find that today Machiavelli is as read probably more than any time in history. What's scary about that is I just read some things from his main work that the people read called The Prince. Obviously, Machiavelli is focusing on the wrong kingdom. But he said this, everyone sees what you appear to be. Do you experience what you really are? But what he's trying to say in his book is basically, it's important that you give the appearance of what you want people to see you as, and that they don't really know who you are, because it doesn't really matter, because appearances are what matters. That's complicated. It's much safer to be feared than loved, because love is preserved by the link of obligation, which owing to the baseness of men is broken at every opportunity for their advantage. But fear preserves you by a dread of punishment which never fails. Interesting. Much different than when God talks about love. Machiavelli said, never attempt to win by force what can be won by deception. Very important that you learn how to deceive people and how to fool them. He who seeks to deceive will always find someone who will allow himself to be deceived. Interesting. The promise given was a necessity of the past. The word broken is a necessity of the present. A thought there, you can make whatever promise you want, but it's okay to break it. It doesn't really matter. Now, I'm not asking you to think of any politicians or anything else, but certainly there's patterns that we can start seeing develop here. And people's thoughts. I hold strongly to this, that it is better to be impetuous than circumspect, because fortune is a woman, and if she is to be submissive, it is necessary to beat and coerce her. Remember, this book's being read today, and influential today. Who listens to Machiavelli anyway, is my question. Well, men are so simple, so absolutely by their present needs that he who wishes to deceive will never fail to find the willing dupes. Men must either be caressed or else destroyed. Wow. I don't know about you, I don't like that world that he's describing. Because the Bible tells us that it's the truth that sets us free. The Bible speaks of caring for one another and caring for what other people think and for caring for their needs. The Bible teaches us to love God and one another. That's different than this. This is a manipulation strategy. The unfortunate thing is so many of us have grown up in the manipulation strategy. William J. Connell, which is a professor at Seton Hall University right now, basically has said much about this Machiavelli, and he says, best known, most read Renaissance writer, more than Shakespeare, Thomas More, a bigger presence in American culture than any other writer, actually, he said. Well, that's tough. That's tough stuff. I don't know this guy, I don't listen to him, but you might know who he is, Tupac Shakur. He talks about Machiavelli as a hero. Machiavelli is read more widely today than he was 10, 20, 30 years ago. Many modern-day influencers quote him. Tupac Shakur has sold over 75 million albums. He's very influential. And to him, Machiavelli was a hero. Now, you might be thinking, this doesn't affect me. I tell you, this guy makes things very complicated. He makes us begin to wonder who's telling us the truth, who's manipulating us, what they really mean, what is it on the surface. Look, God makes this stuff very simple. Dave Wager's not God. God is God. Dave Wager's a sinner. That's pretty simple. That's not hard to figure out. Now, we can take the simple truth and we can apply it to life, or we can make it very complicated. And the world is trying to make it very complicated, because when you make things complicated, you can also put in loopholes. And when you put in loopholes, now you've got a hard to understand anything, and there's no standards anywhere, because somewhere there's a loophole to be dealt with. It's interesting, this Pennell said he gives us ways to deal with the problems we face. He loves this guy. He gives us, as a government, ways that we can deal with this. In fact, this professor said if he had one book that he wanted Obama to read, it would be this book, because it would help him lead correctly. And I'm looking at it going, I don't get it. There's nothing this guy says that's right. There is nothing that is simple, there is nothing that is loving, there is nothing that is kind, and yet it is being promoted as something that we should read if we're in leadership. It's not true, it should not be. How does this message actually contrast with God? And this year, God's message, this year what I want to do is give you a theme. And that's what I strive to do tonight, and it's going to be out of Matthew 6, where Jesus says some things, and he says it pretty simply. He says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? You know, it's interesting here. Basically, Jesus is saying, look, God's God. You're not. And he happens to love you. Would you please act that way? That's as simple as it gets, really. He's God. I'm not. He loves me. I need to act that way. And you know what? You're being told in a society you've grown up in is that, you know, sometimes you got to really focus on this making sure you can eat and you can drink and you go out there and you get a good job and get a lot. That's what you focus on. Not first. That's not what you focus on first. That's why the word first is up there. This isn't the first things that you do. You know, the very first things that we do are relational. They're not worrying about how we're going to dress and where we're going to live and the houses we're going to have. That's not what we focus on first. You focus on the foundation first. And the foundation is, in the beginning, God. You know, you're going to start with theology this week with me. And I'm going to start with this phrase, in the beginning, God. Because we have to start at the beginning. And we weren't there, but he was. And it's God. Jesus goes on and says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? We don't make that the first goal of what we do. It's not evil to ask what I should wear. I had to do that before I came over here. That's not evil in and of itself, and that's not what it's talking about. But to make that first, to make that a priority of our life, that no, our priority is to love God and to love each other. That's the priority. And you know what? If we judge everything by that, we just kept it pretty simple. There's no Christian tax code there on that one. No, there's not a lot of loopholes there. It's pretty simple. And it says, for the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What does that mean, simply? That the one who created the universe, the God of the universe, who loves Dave Wager and loves you, knows what my needs are. He knows that already. And he loves me. I need to act that way. How simple is that? That's pretty simple. And that's what I have to do. You know, and it says, the next verse, which is what I would like to be your theme verse for the year, is, but seek first. First. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You position yourself first as an obedient child. You position yourself first. It's interesting. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The word righteousness means equity. The quality means fair or impartial. Right here. Seek first the fairness, the equity of God, what he would do. See, God would only do what's right. Seek what's right. Seek to do what's right. That's pretty simple, really. That's not complicated. We make it complicated by putting all kinds of degrees there, but really, it's simple. There are some people that I read, W.A. Cademan, I think I'll read it to you. It says, suppose a man should be religious for the sake of temporal advantage. Whatever a man's motive, that is his first thing. Therefore, this man is not seeking first the kingdom of God, but the temporal advantage, to which his religion is subservient. Do not let the poor man be tempted to think that because he is not richer, either he is not a seeker, or God is not faithful promiser. You see, when we look, we say, I want to obey God so that I'm richer one day and healthier. And well, your first thought is richer and healthier. Your first thought really should be, God, I want to love you. I want to just be with you. I want to be under you. I want to obey you. That's the first thought. Because who knows after that, but you do know that when you do that, you've positioned yourself to be under the one who loves you. And the one that can provide for you, the one who can care for you. That's what you're doing at that moment. So that's what we do first. Life is all about priorities, you know. I mean, you're going to get older, and believe it or not, you're not going to like hearing this, but your life is as simple today as it will ever be. It will never get simpler than it is today. Life just keeps going and getting more lines to it, more complicated, and more. It just does that. So you need to learn to prioritize. So I'm saying first, what do you do first? You seek God. You seek his wisdom. You seek who he is. That's what you do first. If you're not doing that well, we're not doing anything well. So let's boil it down to that simple and see if we can do it. So the verse for the year is Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other stuff will be taken care of. Each year I also have a song that it's the class song for the year. There happens to be a song called First. So I'm going to play it for you, and you can see it. And just listen to the words. And I hope that every time you hear this song in the future, you're reminded that the challenge for this class is Matthew 6:33, that we simplify things, that we seek him first. And we seek his righteousness first. Let me play it for you. It should be plain. We have it, that man. Should I unplug it and put the mic right? We'll restart it.
And there's no way to help a confused person until they understand that they got to back the bus up and start where it's
that's what we want for you this year. We want you to build your lives right. Do we know everything about how to do that? No, we're human, sinful people just like you. But I do know that it starts with God. Not Dave, not Rich, not Steve, not any other teachers. It starts with God. And then he begins to reveal you the things in life that you need to understand and do and move and change. And if you neglect that, you've neglected everything. And there is no way for you to get help then. Because you're going to look for help from the world philosophers, and I read about one of them to you and his idea of what his help would have been. And it's not help that you want. And people who ignore God cannot help you. Because they're ignoring the very one in the universe that made them and gave them life. And the only way to understand how to have this life and enjoy it is by listening to who he is and by responding to him. So that's my challenge. Let's make first things first this year. You are going to live in a very, very confusing year since the Supreme Court made their decisions and other things. You're in a very confusing time. Let's unwrap all the confusion and go back to the beginning and figure out how this thing was put together in the first place. And let's enjoy the simplicity of things rather than the complicated things. Let's enjoy each other. Let's understand that we're sinful people and we'll get on each other's nerves at times, and let's understand that and enjoy being with each other and doing what we can to help each other be the best they can be. Because the first is loving God, and the second will be loving each other. And if you're not doing those two things, don't go on to the third. Because it won't matter at this point. So that's the challenge. Let's remember that verse. Let's remember the word first and ingrain that in your head. And if you like this type of music, then remember this song. And when it's played, remind yourself of the purpose or the goal for this year. Is let's do first things first. Let me pray with you. Father, we're thankful for this year and the opportunities that lie ahead. We are thankful for, again, you providing a student body and the equipment that we need and the places that we need. We pray that you will allow us to have a year where we're able to simplify things and by the end of the year have a group of students who just really love you and want to walk with you and love other people. Let it be a year where you strip away all the complexities and allow us to see how simple it is. It's easy to trust you once we know who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.